Well, good evening, and glad we could all be here to study the Word together for the edification that the Spirit provides through His Word. And He tells us that it's through the Word as it's received, as we believe it. It works effectually in us. Please turn to Romans 14 in your Bible. It's going to help if you look at some of these things with your eyes and see what the Bible actually says. There are some controversial subjects here. There's a lot about liberty in there, a lot about judging others, and there's a lot about a type of people called weaker brothers. So we'll start off with Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. And we need to define some terms. I looked up doubtful disputations. In the definitions that I saw, doubtful could mean debated, unlikely, or considered. Disputations means disputes, which is defined as to say or show that something may not be true, correct, or legal. May not be true. In other words, debated disputes. The body of Christ churches at that time, they were to receive him that is weak in the faith, but at times there might be disputes or votes that arise that come up that are needed about what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, or about what is the doctrine and what's to be taught. The input from these weak brothers in the faith is not to be received to those kind of things that came up anyway at that time. And there's a reason for that. It's not the same people or type of people that we are today. There's a reason. Why are they not to receive him that is weak in the faith to debated disputes or to doubtful disputations? Well, there are two places in the Bible that discuss this, causing weak brothers to stumble. Taught about in these two places. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and also in Romans chapter 14, the part we're looking at. Let's look at some of the high points to compare and to shed some light on this topic. First, let's look at the high points in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So we'll start off with verse 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Hold on just a moment if you can. Let's look here. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. You probably can see one reason right there why it doesn't directly apply straight over from that period in a dispensing of the gospel to now in our dispensation of the grace of God. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Well, Paul knows, and those believers that he's talking to know it. As we mentioned before, Paul was writing to a variety of people in his epistles. Often throughout the book, he would identify which segment he was talking to at that time. But he's saying, we know. So the people he's talking to are the ones that know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. Let's go on down in the text, 1 Corinthians 8, 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. and one Lord Jesus, by whom are all things, and we by him. Verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. The weak think that the idol is a real god. Look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 10. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Verse 11, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. Okay, it's quiz time. From what we've read, can you tell me, was the weak brother saved? It says he could perish. Was he saved? Was the weak brother saved if he could perish? Well, let's consider some thoughts and comments about that. What about this? If anyone perishes, then they were neither safe nor were they saved. That means, well, that's the meaning of being saved. You're excluded from God's wrath. But if you perish, you are in God's wrath. So they're opposites. Those weaker brothers were not saved in the sense of believers in the gospel of Christ being saved at the time they believe it. From that time on, saved to heaven, saved into the body of Christ. Well, so that the gospel that saves you is quite important. To know. That's the most important thing in your life, anybody's life. The 80 years here is but a grain of sand in the bucket of eternity. But since that's the case, what kind of brother was the weaker brother? Look further. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So Paul says, all our fathers. So Paul, the Jew, is saying that both for he and for the people he's talking to, all their fathers were under the cloud, and all their fathers were under the sea. Through the sea. Went through the sea, as we know from other places, on dry land. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Let's look at Acts 18, verse 1 now. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, came to Corinth, in verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. A very specific crowd there, isn't it? The Jews and the Greeks. Greeks were those Gentiles that blessed Israel. They were the Jew blessers, as we sometimes call them. The Greeks, they came to God on the basis of the covenants. You know, in Acts 18, verse 5, he testified to the Jews. So those were the ones in Corinth, in the synagogue, that listened to Paul's message, and to whom he was writing back in 1 Corinthians, what we call 1 Corinthians, the epistle from Paul to Corinth. They were the Jews and the Jew blessers, those not merely in the nation of Israel, but in the wider commonwealth of Israel, that believed the doctrine that the Jewish scriptures taught. they paid to, you know, they paid tithes to the synagogue as Jew blessers. They blessed Israel by paying tithes when they came to the synagogues every Sabbath. And they went to the synagogues and performed that. They blessed the Israelites they came in contact with there. So we're starting to get a picture that these weak brothers were Paul's brother Israelites. They were Israelites in the flesh. And in that sense, they were Paul's brothers in the flesh. And he called them brothers. It was similar to how we would say, my fellow Americans, or the brotherhood of Teamsters. Paul uses the term my kinsmen in the same way in Romans 16, verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. So they're kinsmen that were in Christ before Paul. Paul's talking about the two people who were his kinsmen in the flesh. Since they were in Christ before the beginning of the body of Christ, notice that the scripture does not say that they were in the body of Christ, which started when Paul was saved, according to 1 Corinthians 15:3. And 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 and 16, and Galatians 1, 15 and 16. The body of Christ did not start until the first member of the body was saved, and that was Paul. It had a head, Christ, in heaven, but on earth, the body did not start until Paul was saved. Now let's look again at Romans 14:1, where we started. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Well, that's why it says not to doubtful disputations, because they were not saved into the body of Christ. They were still Jews, and apparently they were Jews that had heard and believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, and that he was resurrected from the dead. So they believed the gospel of God, what they were required to do in addition to all the other things, the keeping the law, keeping the commandments, keeping believing the covenants, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the they had so many things to keep, but they required to do one thing when Christ came, and that was to believe that he was the Messiah that rose from the dead. Most of them didn't, but that's why these weaker brothers were described as weak in the faith. They were in the faith that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead, but they were not yet believing the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for their sins, and that took care of them. That's what we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. We know that the faith is a term that is used about both the little flock and the body of Christ. And we can see that in Galatians 1:23, that it's talking about, well, let me read it. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Well, once he destroyed the faith that Jesus is the Messiah, those little flock believers that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, he persecuted them. But now he preaches that faith that Jesus is the Messiah. The body of Christ is the agency of God that he's filling today. He's populating it in order to take back God's authority in the heavens and to administer government in the heavens in the future, coming up. And separate from that, from that body of Christ, separate, The nation Israel is God's agency on earth to take back God's authority on the earth and to administer government on the earth in the future when they become a kingdom of priests. According to Exodus 19, verse 6, Israel will reign over the earth. They will be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a whole kingdom of priests. They're different. Israel and the body of Christ are different from each other. They're different agencies of God or entities of God. They're not the same. Much of what we talk about and try to clarify is done by rightly dividing them. We rightly divide, and it's to, for the purpose of accurately handling the sorting of the gospel, the doctrine, and the truth that is written to and sent to the body of Christ. It's sent to the body of Christ, first being revealed to us by Christ through Paul, after God stopped working through Israel in the world. So that's, let me go on. That's a little bit long and strung out to understand all the conditions in that, but to avoid wrongly sorting or wrongly dividing, wrongly handling the gospel doctrine and scriptural truth written to and about and for the body of Christ and sent to the body of Christ through Paul, to avoid wrongly sorting it, we must keep it separate from the gospel and doctrine and truth written to and sent to Israel. Most of the Bible is written to and sent to Israel. 13 books, epistles, are written to and about us, and the body of Christ, and those that would be in the body of Christ. So it was sent to us through Paul. We're not glorifying Paul. We're not worshiping Paul any more than we worship or Israel worships Moses. We're glad that he was the mouthpiece of God for bringing our salvation instructions to us in the new pattern that Christ set up. But that's rightly dividing Paul's gospel from Israel's gospel, as Paul did you can look these up and see Paul rightly dividing them. Acts 13:39, you can see two ways to be justified there. One that was working, it was given, didn't help anybody, but and the one that justifies people from the things they couldn't have been justified by through the first way that it gave. Well, that's Acts 13:39. Also, there's 2 Corinthians 5:16, Galatians 2:9, and Galatians 5:4. And as the collators of the Bible did, also they kept Paul's epistles separate, keeping them between Acts and Israel's tribulation epistles. We must not mix the doctrine in Israel's covenants that was never given to us, according to Matthew 10:1-8 and verse 23, it was not given to us. And we must not mix it with the doctrine that is specifically and directly given to us, according to Ephesians 3:8-9. Through Paul, after Israel stopped being God's people. Well, I don't mean to confuse anybody, but much of what we talk about and try to clarify is done by rightly dividing, keeping separate what is to and about Israel from that which is to and about the body of Christ. That applies to us. Don't get confused trying to read everything and think everything in the Bible applies to you. You'll be out in your backyard building an ark. It doesn't apply to you. Only Paul's epistles. So, and we'll take a break here and try to finish this part tomorrow. But we've talked about rightly dividing, but we're hinting here about that there are some things, there are a few things in the Bible that both Israel and the body of Christ are part of, that they're talked, they're both in it. So we'll get into that, and that doesn't change the status any, but we'll get into that next time.